This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number 3 on this Saturday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Is Brandon Porter.
Brandon, how's it going in there?
It's going.
Yeah. Having trouble getting people to pick up this morning. You know, let's do something we don't usually do on Saturdays. I'll open up phone lines. If somebody wants to call in with any questions or got a nice fishing report or hunting, what have you. You know, it still is teal season, dove season going on. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. We will take your calls this morning. But looking at the update, it's still looking like Tropical Storm Beta, which is, they're claiming it's going to turn into a hurricane after it makes that turn and comes back towards our Texas coast. Looks like it could be hurricane warnings out anywhere from Corpus all the way up to Sabine Lake. So we're definitely going to be in the path of it the way it's looking. What the future tracks are showing anyway. So it's not good for us. So, you know, if you need to get any preparation done, now's the time to do it. Get it done before it does get up on your winds. Or they're still hanging in there about, Galveston North Jetty, 23 out of the north, northeast. Inside the bay there by Tiki Island, it's 26. Down at San Luis Pass, 28. So we've got some pretty good winds to contend with. And super high tides. And they're going to have flood warnings posted. They'll be all up and down the coast for our entire Texas coastline with these above-average tides, and not to mention a surge of at least 4 to 6 feet. Some areas could take an 8. So we'll just see. It's not looking good. The zone area forecast, they've updated that today. This is for 42 nautical miles south-southeast of Galveston, all our Galveston and Freeport area. Tropical storm conditions possible with hurricane conditions. Could be possible. Northeast winds 25 to 30 knots with gust to around 40 knots. Seas are going to be 8 to 11 feet with occasional seas up to 14. And they could be building up to 17 feet in the afternoon. Our chance of showers, they'll be late in the afternoon, but tonight, better chance of showers after midnight. Seas could get up to about 19 feet tonight. And they're calling for tomorrow occasional seas up to 23 feet in the afternoon. So we're going to have some pretty good surf building up. And this forecast is going to run all the way through Wednesday. It's going to be a slow mover, not what we wanted. Just not what we wanted. It's a shame. But it is what it is. All right, let's go to Cody in Cypress. He has a hunting story for us this morning. Cody, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Well, hey, good morning, Captain Mickey. How y'all
What's
doing?
What's up, man?
LTD.
Living a dream, baby. Or the nightmare.
you know, this 2020 is something else. I'm just out here looking at this clear sky, and I guess that's Venus up in it. I mean, it's just bright as can be.
Yeah.
But now I called in last weekend on Sunday, and you guys, you know, I hung up right after you said Richard was the last caller. So, but then I turned the radio on, and you know, you went to me, but I'd already hung up.
Well, Richard hung up during my conversation, and I would have, you know. Anyway, you're back now. That's all that matters.
Yeah, man, we was teal hunting back in the 90s, you know, out here in West Houston and Katy Perry. You know, it was just awesome back then. You know, geese everywhere, and you know, they moved in all these houses, and all the rice farmers just moved out, you know, so we don't have them anymore. But no, I started when I was about 13, 14 years old, and you know, old single banger, 12 gauge, 3-inch, you know, but I couldn't find any teal loads, you know, that were 3-inch, and it was all 2 3/4. We had these box stores around here, and my old timer friend down on Galveston Island, he used to shop at Marburgers, and he found those 3-inch 6s, you know, so he was always wearing them out faster than I was, and I blamed it on that, you know. So I had a bright idea at 13, you know. I went down and bought a box of 2 3/4, you know, number 6 shot, and finally got the money saved up and got one of those 3.5-inch pump shotguns that Mossberg came out with. I'd take those number 4 shot out and put like 2 3/4-inch, you know, steel shot in number 6s. Well, you know, I went out there in the blind and got everything set up, and I was hunting by myself, and here come a flock of teal come in, you know. And, man, I shot once, and, hit, you know, you was only about 4 back then. And sure enough, 1 shot, 4 teal. And I had to pick up the decoys, and it was just 3 minutes past shooting.
After 1 shot.
I thought, well, this ain't no fun. Anyhow.
Yeah, it was a lot of work for 1 shot.
Driving all the way out there, putting out, and it it was just a good time. But, you know, the stupid things you do when you're mad at them birds and young.
Anyhow,
I hope you guys have a good weekend, and I'm just enjoying this little light humidity out here in Cypress this morning.
It is nice, isn't it? Low humidity and a northeast wind. It's it feels really good outdoors this morning.
Well, really y'all take care, and sure enjoy the show and the wisdom from all the way from, you know, Brownsville to Venice. So hopefully everybody fares all right with this rain.
Well, we're gonna find out. It's looking more and more like looks like it's going to go in that track line now. It looks like it's going to go right in towards Port O'Connor to me, and then hang a right and then come up the coast, you know, all the way through us. Just crab walk and slowly crawl up the coast. So,
yeah, my daughter went down to Freeport yesterday. I saw some pictures of, you know, the water's already over the docks down there in Surfside. So I can't imagine, you know, Tuesday's the equinox, and golly, we don't need this right now.
Well, we've had these northeast winds for going on almost 2 weeks now, and all that does is funnel water into all of our bay systems up and down the coast and puts us, you know, above normal. And now you're going to pull this storm in here with a good east swell and everything else, all that easterly direction wind, and we're going to get some tides now. It's going to really pick up.
Yeah, it seems like Harvey pushed all our fish down to Matagorda, and maybe this will push some fish from Louisiana over here. Who knows?
Well, we'll take any they're offering to give us. We'll take them all. Bring them. I need them.
All right. Well, y'all take care. And have
all right, Cody. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
All right. See you. All right. Phone lines are available. Wide open. We don't have anybody on the line. If somebody wants to call in, we'll love to have conversation with you. 713-572-4610. And, boy, some of these rainfall amounts, fortunately for us, it looks like most of the really heavy stuff is going to stay out in the Gulf as far as 20-inch plus totals. That's good. Now, along the coast, they're anywhere from 6, 8, 10, even up to 15 inches, you know, on the immediate coast. And then, you know, naturally farther inland, it's less amounts. But still, that's, well, that's not good. But, oh, and I got a text from our buddy Ray Stanley in Highlands earlier. He said that San Jacinto River Authority, they're going to start dumping Lake Houston and, you know, to prepare for these high rainfall amounts. So we're going to get a bunch more fresh water coming down the San Jacinto watershed into the bay system. We don't need that, but with these bull tides, it shouldn't make that much difference. Not as much salt water as we have up into the bay right now. So that's a wait-see kind of deal, too. So obviously.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
He dropped. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Saturday morning. It's 6:17 here in the Bayou City. Let's get back to some phone lines. Let's go to Brian and Dobbin. Brian, good morning.
Good morning. Hey,
what's up?
Listen, y'all talk about them hook stories. I had a little old 16-foot skeeter. Had old boys bugging me to death taking fishing. And so I finally broke down. Loaded him up. We was out there slinging them rattle traps. I reared back, loaded up, let her rip, and I slapped him right against the side of the head.
Uh-oh.
And he hit the bottom of the boat screaming and hollering. And I was like, Lord mercy. I just knew I was going to look down there and it was going to be all hooked up. I looked down there and there wasn't nothing in him. It was just a little scratch on the side of his head. I was like, dadgum. And I looked at the end of my line and the only thing was there was the split ring. And I'll be damned if I know how that thing got off of there, but I whacked him in the lure. I don't know where it went. We never did see it. But I guess I just barely caught him or something. But he hit the bottom of that boat pretty quick. It was a mess.
Man, I
don't
tell you.
I don't understand how it got off of there.
I don't either, but that hurts.
Yeah, it must have already been halfway started or something, and then when I slapped him, it come on off or something. But you know how them little boats are. They them 20-footers ain't even long enough sometimes.
No, they're not.
We was in tight quarters anyway. So. But I'll never forget that one as long as I live. That's weird.
Well, I tell you, that the hardest I've ever been hit, I didn't get hooked, but it knocked me to my knees. I thought somebody shot me in the head with a .38 pistol. A guy hit me with one of those big old round gumball heads right in the back of the head.
Whew, oh, man. Man.
That laid me out. Yeah. I saw stars off of that one.
I hit my son when he was little bitty. We used to go up White Rock Creek up there on the north end of Livingston and wear them white bass out when they'd run up them creeks. And, of course, it's tight down there on that creek bank anyway. And I smacked him in the back of the head with a little the spec rigs. We used to throw them spec rigs at him.
Uh-huh.
And he wasn't that old. Mm-hmm. I remember he went to wailing. Put a little top knot on the back of his head.
Yep.
But, no, them things, them lures are dangerous. My wife, she's every once in a while you hear that thing go by your ear and you're like, you know, come on. This boat, get on down there and go over your head. She likes to shoot that sidearm out there.
When you're fishing out of the boat, I always make sure I get a sidearm in my boat. I put him all the way in the back and I'll always turn the boat to that side where he's sidearming over the top of the motor.
There you go. Yeah, I got a skeeter with that Yamaha. Every once in a while you'll hear it click that cowling on that skeeter. I was like, hey man, save a little of that paint back there, you know.
Yeah, those jig heads put some good chips in that paint or the cowling itself.
Yes, sir.
Oh,
all
man.
Right, I was just gonna holler at
all right, Brian.
Y'all had time.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Bye. See you, man. All right, that's Brian and Dobbin. Let's go to Frank in Baytown. Frank, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show. What's up?
Hey, Captain Mickey. Hey, It's been about 20 years ago, but there was a spring where I was trying to book you as a guide, and I'll never forget. Every weekend, it would be like 30 mile an hour wind, and you'd say, "Hey, I don't recommend going out." And it was like 5 or 6 weekends later, and I finally said, "Mickey, we're going out. I don't care what the wind's doing." And you ended up taking me up into Burnett Bay and Black Duck Bay up the San Jacinto River there.
Yeah.
Because that's the only protected area there was. And I remember we only caught a few fish. It wasn't great but because of the weather, but that's where it got interesting because after that, I never knew that there were houses on the bay there.
Yeah.
So after that, I started exploring, and sure enough, I eventually found a really good house for sale with a good lot, and I bought that house. And so that was the most productive fishing trip I've ever been in because I've been in that location ever since, and I've just loved living on the water and fishing on the pier. And you know, I don't love the hurricane so much, but.
No. Well, that's the only drawback.
Yeah, but I knew you never knew that, but it really made a big impact on my life, and it was a great thing, and I'm glad I pushed you to take me fishing in that horrible wind, you know.
Well, something good came out of it. That's good. You know, I grew up there. I don't know whether I probably told you that. I grew up in Brownwood, which is the subdivision that was next to Lakewood, and you know, we eventually had to move out of there, but now they, you know, it's turned into a nature center. All those beautiful homes are all gone, and it's just, you know, a nature center and a park for a lot of people to access and fish off the pier or take a kayak in there and go fishing. So it brings back memories.
Oh yeah, I'm in Lakewood. I'm looking across at Brownwood. So, you know, this morning the tide wasn't that bad from this last little storm that came in through Alabama, the tide was higher for that than the one that came in through Louisiana.
Yeah, it's because we've pulled these northeast winds for so long.
Yeah.
It's pushed it all in here. They're showing now. We're gonna, as far as today and tomorrow, it looks like we're going to have 2 to 4 foot above normal tides, you know, before that storm even gets close to us.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that makes the flooding so bad is when the tide rises up, the gullies can't wash the rainwater off the runoff.
Nope, they can't drain. You get all that rain on top of it, and it makes for a nasty event.
Yeah. Hey, well, I love your show. I appreciate it. Keep it up. I'll see you soon.
Thank you, Frank. Hey, thanks for the call. See you, man. Have a good weekend. All right. Next up, let's go to Craig in G-Town. See if that surf's up down there. Craig, what's up?
Let's go surfing, man.
Let's go.
Well, man, we got to do it again. Got one in the pipe. 2020.
Do what?
Storm.
Oh, yeah.
Storm coming.
Would you expect anything less?
I know. We got minor street flooding right now. We've had it for a couple of days. Yeah.
Well, you're going to have more. It's going to be a lot more coming.
I got a job ahead of me just today. I got to start elevating everything, getting it off the floors. So.
Oh, man. What part of the island you live on?
I'm about smack dab. I'm not too far from Offutt's.
Okay.
Bayou. I'm about 7 blocks from Offutt's.
Okay.
So we do, if it's bad enough, we do get storm surge here. And Ike put about 3 foot in this house. Anyway, I don't even want to think about that.
Well, hopefully this won't be an Ike. They're claiming it's not going to be. You know, we could probably get wind gusts to 75, 80 miles an hour. That's what they're saying.
Yeah. Boy, I can't believe it.
But you're going to have, it's all going to be an easterly flow, which is a water pusher.
Yeah, I scrubbed today's teal hunt. We were going to go teal hunt today. I was like, nah, we got things to do.
I'm sure a lot of people have done that this morning, you know, with this new forecast and new revision and they're going to have to get ready.
Big time.
Prepare.
Well, little dove hunt report, man. We had a good time out there at Crocker's. His birds kind of went somewhere else.
Really?
So, yeah. It's, you know, it's a 2020 thing, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Crocker's fault.
Well, no, that's dove hunting.
Yeah. It looked like he had a good shoot for the south zone. That looked pretty strong for him. But anyway, I tell you one thing, it was the coldest dove hunt I've ever been on. We had a front come through, and Kitty and I had to go into Uvalde and go buy some winter clothes. I mean, you can see
you
your
got
breath.
Got that chilly up there, huh?
Oh, yeah. We had the dog under the covers, man. That's how cold it was.
Oh, goodness.
Cozy camping, man, on the Frio River.
Oh,
but the next day or so, it was back up. We were in the river having a good old time, so. We had a good trip. It was good to get away.
Well, so. I just saw some not-so-good news. They were just showing on the TV here. Wilfred, that storm out there in Atlantic, they're showing a Bermuda high setting in the Atlantic up there around Bermuda, and it's going to steer it through the through the chute. Looks like we might have another one in the Gulf do the same thing behind this
one. Now, I got a daughter. She just left for Florida yesterday. She's in Florida now. We told her, I don't know why you're going. It's the wrong way to go, but they had to go. So I hope she doesn't get in any trouble.
Well, you know, kids, they're smarter than we are, always have been.
Yeah. Building memories, you know.
That's build them memories.
Can't tell them anything. But anyway, Mickey, that's all I got. I just want to say hey and – hope everybody stays safe for this storm.
We're going to try. We're going to see. Only time will tell. It's going to be a long, slow event the way it's looking.
Yep.
It's going to take a while.
I hear that.
All right, Craig. All right. Well, hey, you stay out of trouble, man, if that's
I'll try
possible.
To.
All right, brother. Be safe. Thanks for the call.
Buddy, bye.
Later.
Have.
All right. Let's go to Mark in Port O'Connor. Mark, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show. What's up?
Morning, Mickey. How you doing?
Good morning. Good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Just getting ready to hook the boat up and head out on my fishing trip this morning.
Yeah?
Go out and play with them bull reds and those big slot reds out at the jetties this morning.
Yeah.
It'll be my last day to be out there, I believe, with all this wind coming.
Way it's looking.
We've been shooting teal and red fishing in the afternoons.
Got
a
15-teal
yesterday.
Tough life.
Not too bad. Not too bad on the bay, get 15-teal. So had a good day. But the last couple of weeks, we've just been pretty much hammering those jetties out there and catching tons of redfish out there.
Boy, redfish bites been crazy all up and down the coast this year.
Oh,
been nuts.
Yes. It's been really good. We've had all this north wind blowing, so I haven't been – had too many trout fish in here lately, so.
Right.
A little change of scenery for me, you know, I'm always.
What are you, a guide down there?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Okay. Mark who?
Yeah. Mark Robinson.
Okay. Are you aren't related to G.B. Robinson, are you?
No, uh-uh.
Did you know him?
No, I didn't know him.
You know, I Not grew up fishing. Done. Well, there were a couple old-timers down there, G.B. Robinson and Andy Lacy. They spent their latter years.
Oh, yeah, I know Andy Lacy.
Yeah, and I grew up fishing with them when I was a little kid on the west end of Galveston Island. My dad and all them were good friends. We all fished together.
Yeah. Hey, when I used to guide for Bay Prairie Outfitters out of Midland, we'd do their afternoon duck hunts over here in Port O'Connor.
Mike Ladner.
Yep, I'd always use Andy Lacy's dog, Old Ginger.
Uh-huh.
Yep, I always use his dog.
You know, I worked for Ladner for a couple of duck seasons.
Yeah, that was about 20 years ago. Been a long time.
Yeah, it has.
Yep, been guiding down here at Port O'Connor it's been 19 years now.
Okay.
Yep, do that, and I do the bassing thing during the winter. Used to run around down there with old Chad Petterick a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, cool.
But,
well,
good. But I'm about to hook this boat up. I just wanted to holler at you.
Well, good luck today for you, and Mark, since I got you on and you're a guide down there, put your number out.
All right. If they want to get a hold of me, they can call me at 361-550-1081.
All right, buddy. Hey, good luck today. Be safe. All right, man.
All righty, we'll do. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
All right, later.
Now, if you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show. Captain Mickey will tell you where to go and what to throw.
What are you coon hunting again?
Yes, sir.
Y'all ain't ever going to run out of coons up there, man, no matter how many you kill.
I know. I keep feeding them about 5 tons of corn a year. I don't know why in the heck they showing up, but you know, that's the thing, you know, them rascals, they get pretty dang wild out here and taking over, so you got to clean the herd every once in a while.
Well, I bet they're fat rascals, corn fed.
Ooh, you ain't kidding, these tongue guns are. They are just
get out of here, you furry bastard.
Johnny B.
He slipped that one in on us, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Turkey.
Have you ever gotten out one of those little Fox Pro calls and put the crow call on?
Put the fighting crows on there. There won't be a crow. You won't see one within miles, and in 5 minutes, you got crows coming in.
Everywhere. I mean, they come flocking in. You put that
Johnny's doing
it. Goodness, I tell you what, that's something else. I'm excited. That is hilarious. I sit around the house and I'll do that every once in a while. I'll put that thing in the yard. And like you said, there won't be a crow around. And you've got that thing on, and here they come. I mean, and they're diving and bombing and want to know what's going on and who's fighting.
They're coming in there ready to fight, man. At least watch the fight.
It is comical as it can be.
Oh, that's some cheap redneck entertainment right there.
It is, isn't it?
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Let's get to our call lines. Next up to bat, Vernon and Bolivar. Vernon, what's up?
Hey, nothing good. How you doing today, brother?
I'm good. Thanks for asking.
Man. Yeah, I'm bitching her about rollover pass still. I'm always talking about, I think we're finna see it because me and my wife was going to stay till tomorrow, but I guess we're going to have to go ahead and get out of here because our street probably floods. We're on the canal. And anyway, we'll see how it turns out. At the end of the day, remember I said rollover pass was a mistake. So closing that sucker off. But
and thousands of people said that over the years since all that's been going on.
Yeah, I know, man. But my mother's even mad about it. So, we talk about hooks in the finger. And me and my wife was coming down here, we were searching for a house about 3 years ago, and she hooked on it to a flounder, and I was pulling it up. And I was inside of the house that we was renting, and she come in there crying and had that hook in her finger and her thumb. So I said, calm her down, because, she can't even take a shot. You go to the doctor, but she just is out of her mind about pain. So I said, well, sit down here and calm down a minute. And then I got me a pair of needle-nose pliers, and she didn't even see what I was doing. And I said, hey, is somebody knocking at the door? She looked, and I jerked that sucker out.
Did she hit you?
No, but she thought, I thought she was going to pass out, but and it was a little bitty piece of meat on it, So what happened was, there was nothing to it that day. And then the next day, it was kind of, a little bit swollen up on her. And then she went to the doctor and said, hey, this thing's, so he said, well, I'm going to do this for you. Cause we live in Conroe, too. We had a house in Conroe. And he thought we was fishing on Lake Conroe. She got a hook in her. As soon as she said in Galveston, immediately he changed to what he was doing to her. I mean, I'm talking about he turned 100, and she ended up having surgery on her hand because that that virus that was in the water when it's warm or whatever.
Vibrio, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it went from a little hook in the finger to knocking her out in surgery. Yeah, and it was crazy, but so there it is. That's my fish hook deal.
Yeah. They're never good. Some of them end better than others.
Yeah, I know. That thing hit the bone. I guess when it did that, it set some kind of a trigger off or something. I'm not sure about that. But anyway, well, everybody out there in the fishing and hunting land, how y'all doing? I'll holler at you later, brother. Good talking to you.
Vernon, get on out of there before that water boils up, because it's going to come up.
Yeah, I know it. I'm here fishing right now on my back porch, and it is definitely, right now, it's come up about 2 inches since I've been out here this morning. I've been out here since 2:30, but it's, wow.
Well, there'll be several more feet coming in the next day or two.
Wow, I mean, really, yeah, that's not good, because our street floods, if it barely comes. I think it's got something to do with the rollover pass, too, I'm telling you, but because the street never got water on. I've been here only a couple of years now since I bought this house, but
yeah,
I'm going to tell them, I'm going to wake my wife up and tell her we better get on out of here. You think it's going to get another foot, huh?
It'd be more than that.
Wow.
It's probably, once that hurricane, moves up the coast towards us, it's gonna come up another 4 to 6 feet.
But when's that supposed to get close to Galveston, you think?
Probably Wednesday.
Yeah. Wow.
And it'll pass us up, and then it'll go into Louisiana, Thursday morning sometimes in the middle of the night.
This 2020 program, I don't think I like this year too much. My brother just got diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer, and they gave him 23 months to live. And so I'm thinking 2020 is just, I'll be glad when this sucker's gone. I mean,
you and millions of Americans.
I mean, this is the worst. I ain't never seen nothing like it.
All right. Let's go to Steve in San Antonio. Steve, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Well, good morning. How are you?
Fine. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing okay. I sent you that picture of that buck earlier this morning.
Was that you that sent me that buck a while ago? I don't have you in my phone. It didn't show the name, but
yes, sir. That deer is hopefully going to be the first recipient of that 257 Magnum. I got that CCA gun. I've got it, I think, dialed in, so I'm looking
forward
to it.
Man, that thing has got it's got double drops, and that one on his right side, man, that's a long drop tine. And the brow tines are, man, they're cool looking. They're long and crooked. Neat looking deer,
yeah. Yeah, and I saw him last year, and he was that deer's was 5.5 last year, so he's made the threshold for us. So we had a low fence ranch down southeast of Uvalde, about 25-30 miles, and so we try really hard to manage it. But I tell
he's
you, we were, yeah, yeah. He'll be a book deer. I mean, certainly.
He looks like it. He is, man, he's got stickers everywhere.
It's a mess is what it is. But
it is.
I've never been a big proponent of doing the supplemental feeding and such like that. And we started about three years ago with a product called RHR, which really doesn't matter, but there's a number of them out there. But we have consistently seen more of what I call the trash that starts popping up on their, on their antlers when, as time has gone on with the mineral supplements, but,
creates growth.
It really does. That deer, only thing if somebody complained about him is he doesn't have a lot of mass, but he's still a great deer either way. So
yeah.
Hopefully the 257 Mag will knock him down.
It will. You put it in the slot and he's going down.
Well, that'd be great. I'm looking forward to it. This, y'all been talking about these storms. This thing looks like Harvey.
It's scary looking.
Yeah, you remember how they bounced around like that?
I know.
It kind of worked its way up. But I actually, the one thing is if it'll go inland enough so we can get a little bit of that rain, that's the only downside we've got on that ranch is we're bone
no
dry.
Rain. Yeah.
No, sir. No, but
well,
that if
I hate to tell you, this one's not going to make it inland. It's going to stay along the coast till it gets over in Louisiana, and then it'll go in.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
It's going to skirt the entire coast.
Man, what a mess. What a mess. Well,
real mess.
I wanted to give you a call. Do you have your big deer hunt scheduled this year already? Or?
Oh, yeah, that's always in the books, going down to Blaine's for my birthday, Christmas to New Year's. That's my big deal, buddy.
Well, that's good. Well, good luck to you. I just want to give you a call this morning. Y'all stay safe.
Steve, good to hear from you, man. You take care.
Sir, thank you.
Good luck with that deer. That's a nice one. All right. Okay, next up, Mike in Sharpstown. Good morning, Mike. What's up?
Hey, bud, I just got to tell you, I got back from a five-day hunt down south shooting doves. And last day in the evening flight around a good-sized tank, and I knocked down a couple of birds on the other side of the tank and walk around to the other side, and I guess the weeds on that side are about knee-high, and stick the barrel of my gun down to where I thought the last bird went down at, and plink, plink, and I'm going, what the hell was that? A stick hitting the barrel of my gun, and I look down, and there was a snake hit that barrel so hard that it scratched the bluing, and I'm going, well, do I really want this bird that bad? And I started to back up a little bit, and I see this thing starting to wiggle, the brush coming towards me, and I'm going, that's not a good sign.
Nope.
So I decided to move a little quicker, and I get past the brush line, and when I got back towards the bank, the thickest rattlesnake I've ever seen, probably bigger around than my wrist, comes wiggling out of that brush just enough for me to see his head. And I thought real serious about putting him out of his misery, but I figured he taught me a good enough lesson that I didn't want to shoot any more birds on the other side of the tank, so I decided to shoot birds just on my side.
Well, he heard that bird hit the brush and was probably flapping its wings, and they'd go to that.
Oh, yeah.
We see that a lot with quail hunting. Man, you got a crippled bird down in that brush or the grass wiggling around and flopping around like that, those snakes will go straight to it every single time.
I figured, being 75 years old, I'm not too old to learn a good lesson, so I learned that they don't always let you know that they're around either.
No, a lot of times they won't even buzz. Even when they're coiled up and they're in full alert, they won't buzz.
Well, I got news for you. I came back to camp that evening, finished cleaning birds, and I said, I've had enough for a while. I'm going home.
There you go. Well, at your age, you don't need to be hit by a snake, I can tell you that.
No, I was out there by myself. I figured I didn't want to push any more luck.
No. And people don't realize South Texas, you're wherever you're at, you're a long ways from the hospital.
You got that right, brother.
You got to
be
careful.
Hey, listen, I wanted to wish you good luck this coming deer season. I hope when you shoot your big eight this year that you find him this time.
I will. I learned a valuable lesson on that in that high wind. I just didn't compensate enough, and it cost me. Cost me the biggest eight of my life because of that. Been hunting that deer for 2 years, man.
We'll keep a good thought this year, brother.
And hopefully he made it. He'll be back. They always return to the scene of the crime.
he's looking for you.
I hope he finds me.
Take care, bud.
Hey, good to hear from you. Be safe. All right. Who's up next here? Let's go to Carl in Dickinson. Carl, good morning. What's up?
Yeah, you brought back great memories of Old West Bay down there. This time of the year, old timers used to go down there with their cast nuts, go out and get a mullet, and then they cut them up and walk out there with them big spinning reels and throw out by those sand spots out there. Remember they used to have the grass spots?
Oh, yeah.
Used to be loaded with grass down there by West Bay Fishing Club. Wow.
Well, it is again. We've got a ton of grass in West Bay again. Yes, sir.
Well, that's good. That's good. But they catch those great big trout, But I used to have a lot of good memories down there. And, that old West Bay Fishing Club, we'd go down there Friday night, play our football game. Saturday, head down there, and that was our spot. We'd dove hunt, had a couple beers, something like that, and brought some cigarettes with us. We were crazy. And we go down there and got our fishing pass, $25 a year down there.
Right.
And old boy lived in a motorhome. He was an old alcoholic. He had rubber bands holding his glasses on. His name was Doc Boston. Mm-hmm. And we go in there and goes, you city boys, bring me some of them real cigarettes. He rolled his own, man, but he wanted a Marlboro. He goes, that's what I'm talking about.
There you go.
Anyway, it was great down there, and they had like a little group of cedar trees down there right next to the road, and now it's big old houses built right behind where all the little, we're losing too much of our memories.
I remember the cedars. I remember them.
You remember them cedar trees?
Yes,
over
sir.
There after, oh my God, it used to be millions of monarch butterflies, millions of them. They would land on there the night before in a little cool front, and they would, then that whole bunch of cedars, saltwater cedars, would be orange. And then the doves, man, would come in 20, 30, a bunch of those Kansas doves, you know, when they were migrating.
Right.
It was unbelievable hunting. And the hawk migration, millions of hawks and falcons and everything. It was a wonderful time, man. And that sun would go down, man. It was time to go back home. We'd go back into Galveston. But that was like our getaway down there, man, at West Bay Fishing Club.
West Bay Fishing Club. Went there many a time when I was a kid, driving there and wade out. We used to catch some big old logger trout.
Ooh,
on those flats some, back there.
Oh man, there was some monster. But that was back when, you know, when you started off with that 300 Mitchell Garcia, you know. Boy, you were the
kid
of the block. We were poor,
yes,
you know. If you had one of those, you were really something. But, boy, if somebody could get a red ambassador out of a box with a little screw and a little kit, man, you were in heaven back then when you got that first red ambassador, you know.
Yes, sir.
And, man, that was a great day. One thing I called about was, how did that bunting turn out in your garage? They make it? You had a bunting
Yeah. She finished her nest, and they flew off, and she'll be back next year.
Yeah, they'll be right back. But they had some bad news about the birds. I don't know if you heard about it. All the birds migrating from around Canada and Alaska on that Pacific thing over there, all the migratory birds, a lot of them died, thousands of them, because of the fires.
Yeah, the wildfires, yes, sir.
Food, and they didn't have no food, and they were dying all over the place. There was birds just sitting on the ground pecking, they said. But they said, the bird lovers said, man, they lost thousands and thousands of warblers and swallows, all those, you know, those birds that migrate. But wasn't that a great time, Mickey, back then when you see those birds flying through in September? You see those, I don't know what they were, some kind of swallows or something. Well,
yeah, it's a barn swallows, yeah.
Yeah, they'd be migrating, boy. They'd be a foot off the ground coming through, eating while they're migrating, man. Those were the days, Mickey. And we were lucky to have seen all that, weren't we?
I'm telling you. Well, Carl, I'm out of time.
Yes,
I got to run, my friend. Good. Thanks for the call. Enjoyed it.
Yes, I was just checking on your bunting there for you. You be
all
careful.
All right, buddy. See you now.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye. All right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.